Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit HaDashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. We're currently studying Satan and demonology in our series called The Great Doctrines of the Bible. We've been looking at the works of demons. What demons under the command and bidding of Satan do in the human realm, in the universe. And last time we were with you, we were looking at their activity, their nefarious and evil activities among men. Primarily, they pervert the Word of God. Demons, after the bidding of Satan, the devil, their master, they pervert the Word of God and seek to hinder the gospel. Sometimes they hinder and oppose the gospel by an outright opposition through other entities and groups. Other times they oppose the gospel from within the church by creating another gospel, another Jesus, and so forth. Demons are called seducing spirits, 1 Timothy 4:1. Why? Because they roam about seeking to entice and draw people into the destructive errors that lead to a false understanding and an incorrect understanding of who God is. 1 Timothy 4:1. They seek to seduce, to allure, to tempt, to corrupt and defraud by enticing men to accept or believe something about God that's not true and to trust in that erroneous idea or doctrine. In the last days, we will see the universal activity of these seducing spirits, these demonic spirits, by they will be creating false Christs and false prophets. Jesus warns us that in the last days, particularly in the tribulation period, they will create false Christs and false prophets until ultimately the Antichrist and the false prophet promoting him will be the culmination of the work of these seducing demonic spirits. Mark 13:21. Then if anyone says to you, look here, is the Christ, or look, he is there, do not believe it, for false Christs and false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. But Jesus goes on to say, but take heed, see, I have told you all things beforehand. So these satanic inspired false miracles will be used to try to validate the appearances of these false Christs and false prophets. And we see that even in when Moses confronted Pharaoh and performed miracles. Pharaoh's magicians, being inspired by the seducing spirits of devils, were able to replicate some of those miracles that Moses performed, part of the 10 plagues, until finally, I believe it was the plague of boils, the Pharaoh's physicians could not duplicate, because at that point and beyond, the power of God was too great for them to overcome or mimic. These demons seduce people into believing what is false, what is heretical, what is not true. And in believing that, they are condemned. What you believe in determines who you are and where you go. That's why when you hear these word faith teachers teach faith as some power in itself to create reality and to produce supernatural power, that is false. Why? Because faith per se is nothing if the object that faith is placed in is not true. In order to be saved by faith alone, you have to believe in the right person. That is why the New Testament emphasizes and pronounces over and over that faith in Jesus Christ alone is what saves you. Not faith alone, but faith in Jesus Christ alone is what saves you. And if you put your faith in any other thing or person that is contrary to the biblical Jesus, then you are damned as you stand, and you're headed for hell. And that is the job of these seducing spirits, to get people to believe what is false, what is not true, and what contradicts God's biblical plan of salvation. Demons also trouble or torment people. Remember, Saul was being tormented by evil spirits. When he turned against God and pursued the kingship in his own way, he opened himself up to the demonic spirits of Satan. 1 Samuel 16:14. 1 Samuel 16:14 says this about the apostate king Saul. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. Notice that even the demon spirits themselves are under the subject and command of God Almighty. Now, don't read into this that God Himself sent a demon as if the demons were doing God's bidding. Indirectly, they can. God only allows them what they can and cannot do. Directly, the demons are under the command of Satan. They can't be under the direct command of God because they're in rebellion against God. But God can hem them up or give them enough latitude to do what He allows them to do. And here, God allowed a spirit, a demon spirit, to go forth from the supernatural realm and distress and trouble Saul. God allowed this evil spirit to torment Saul. The reason why Saul opened himself up to demon spirits is because he rebelled against the counsel of God. Samuel told Saul, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and self-will or stubbornness is as idolatry. He told Saul that, remember, in 1 Samuel 15:23. He rejected God's will to carry out a command that God gave Saul through the prophet Samuel. He was supposed to not spare King Agag of the Amalekites, and he did. And for this, God rejected him from continuing to be king of Israel, and directed Samuel to find his replacement, and King David was that replacement. Notice here, when you rebel against God, when you resist His will, when you reject His word, you open yourself up to the tormenting influence of demonic spirits. When Jesus talked about the unmerciful servant, remember the parable of the unmerciful servant. The servant who was cleared of all of his debt from his master found his fellow servant who owed him a puny sum in comparison. He would not release him of his debt as his master released him. And when the master found out, he called this wicked servant and placed him under the tormentors. Well, that is another way of saying that for unforgiveness opens the door for the tormenting presence of demon spirits. That's in Matthew 18:34. So when you walk in bitterness and unforgiveness, you are also place yourself under the influence of the tormenting inflictions of demon spirits. Or rebellion. Rebellion against God and His will, which is now His Word, the Word of God, opens yourself up also to the troubling and the tormenting influence of demons. So be on guard, saint. If someone injures you or offends you, do not hold on to that unforgiveness. And by holding on that unforgiveness, spawn bitterness in your heart. Because through those things, that can open the door for the tormenting influences of demons, which can have a negative psychological and a negative effect on your physical body. Demons can oppress people. Now we're getting into the two main areas of the work of demons, oppression and possession. There's a really good book. It came out some time ago. It's called Demon Possession. And it's a compilation of different authors that write on this subject of demon possession, edited by Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. It's called Demon Possession, and it really gets into the meat of demon oppression and demon possession. There's a difference between the two supernatural phenomena, but this is an excellent book. It's called Demon Possession. It's edited by Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. And we're going to look at demon oppression now. Demon oppression is mentioned in the Scripture. When a demon oppresses you, it seeks to overwhelm, burden, and weigh heavy upon you without taking control of you. There's the difference between oppression and possession. Demonic oppression is an outward assault of the senses, the conscience, and even the body of demon spirits. Whereas demon possession occurs when the person, when the subject, gives his soul, his will, his entire life over to demonic influences, eventually leading to that person's possession. So oppression is the outside work of demons to inflict their oppression on people. Possession is the control of that person from within his soul. Acts 10:38, we find the work of demonic oppression. Acts 10:38. Here we read that Jesus of Nazareth, anointed of God with the Holy Spirit, went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Oppressed. The Greek word is kata dunastuo, and it means one's attempt to exercise rulership, dominion over and against someone, to overburden the body and mind. Christians will be oppressed by demons because demons seek to impose their will by opposing, neutralizing, and negating the Christian's influence in this world system. They do this because they do not want to lose control of souls they already own and have, unsaved souls. So they are going to oppress, attack, and seek to diffuse and defeat the opposition, which would be the children of God. In their oppressive work, demons also vex people. That means to harass. That's part of oppression. The vexing of devils is part of their work of oppression. They vex people. Matthew 15:22, Matthew 17:15, Luke 6:18, Acts 5:16. They vex people. The Greek word here is pasco, and the word or the act of vexing involves a person experiencing painful or negative sensations or impressions. And oftentimes the devil will vex people with illness, with affliction, to hinder their ministry attempts at advancing the gospel. I've personally experienced this in my work of evangelism in Israel. I could tell you several times where, out of nowhere, I suddenly fell severely ill. I believe that that was the vexing, the oppressive work of vexing by the demon spirits to hinder and slow down the effectiveness of evangelism. Also, demons can just torment somebody physically to keep them bound. That leads us to another aspect of demonic oppression, that is, demons have the power to bind people. That means to tie up, to fasten, to keep them imprisoned to an affliction. Remember the woman in Luke 13, we are told she was bound with arthritis and had to be loosed from this confining state in her physical bodies. Now, sometimes physical infirmities can be caused by the binding work, the oppressive work of demons, but a lot of times it's just the natural aging process. See, we've got to be careful here. There's a fine line between the work of demons and just the natural result of living under the cursed dominion of a fallen world. Aging is part of the unpleasant reality of living in a fallen world. So, arthritis, back problems, heart problems, hardening of the arteries, etc., are not the work of demons. It's just simply the fact that we live in a fallen world that is decaying and dying, and we're part of that decaying and dying process. However, there are times when demons create physical afflictions and illnesses to keep people bound. Demons, part of their oppression is to prevent people from coming to the knowledge of the truth. This is where they work to deceive people. In their work of oppressions, demons vex people, they bind people, and they deceive people. Revelation 12:9, Matthew 24:4-5, Matthew 11:24. We don't have time to search each of those scriptures. I cite them for you that you can look them up yourself. But demons seek to deceive people. About what? Well, about the truth. About the fact that each one of us are sinners, separated from God, under the condemnation of breaking His law. Sin is the transgression of the law, John tells us in 1 John. And so the demons seek to blind us from our true condition as fallen, hell-bound sinners. And they further try to deceive people on acquiring the correct remedy for our sin. The correct way out to be an escape from being from the condemnation of our sin. And that would be belief in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Gospel defined as what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, was buried according to the Scripture, and rose again from the dead on the third day according to the Scripture. Demons seek to blind, to deceive people from seeing that and accepting it, and they deceive them into accepting a counterfeit, whatever that counterfeit may be. And I don't need to tell you that demonic deception in our world today is pandemic. Pandemic. It is everywhere around us. Demonic deception, which prevents people from repenting of their sins and believing in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. The worst state a man could be now under the work of demons is possession. That is the most extreme case of the work of demons in our world among men. They can possess people. This is when they take complete control of a person's life. They have total control over his mind, will, and body. We can't get into a long discourse on demon possession. Demon possession is manifested. There are symptoms of a person being demon possessed. And that gets into the real thorny area of people who have psychological problems. Those who are mentally insane or mentally sick, are they demon possessed? Some of them are. Each case requires careful prayer and discernment, and not everyone who has mental problems is demon possessed. There could be a biochemical deficiency where a legitimate medication prescribed by a doctor or a psychiatrist can clear up. So again, there's a fine line here that must be remembered. Again, the book Demon Possession that I mentioned to you earlier, edited by Dr. John Ward Montgomery, there is a chapter, an excellent chapter, on demonology and psychiatry. When is a person demon-possessed, and that demon possession creates a mental disorder? And when is someone just mentally ill due to some factor in his medical life? The chapter is part 6. It's called Demonology Viewed Psychiatrically. And there's some good stuff on there. But demon possession is the worst of the activities of demons. The Greek word is demonizomai. The word demon possession really means, from the Greek word, to be demonized. To be demonized. Possession denotes both the occupancy and ownership of a person by an evil spirit. And this control is one of an indwelling control. Remember, oppression is an outward attack seeking inward control by demons. It is an outward attack by demons seeking inward control. Demon possession is an indwelling or inward control of the person, whereby this person is under the complete power and control of a demon doing the bidding of Satan in this person's life. Demon possession occurs when a demon has entered the person and is given control over their faculties and will. Now, initially, a demon cannot violate the free will of man. But if that person gives their complete control to that demon, then that demon can take over and cause that person's will to be bound to the will of the devil and his demons. Demons can possess, we are told in Scripture, not only can they possess human bodies, but also animal bodies. Remember the Gadarene, the demoniac, when Jesus confronted him, and the demon spoke through the man and said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And when Jesus delivered him and removed all those demons from his body, they asked if they could go into the swine. And Jesus gave them permission. And they possessed the horde of swine. And the possession was so great that the pigs went out of control and ran over a cliff into the river of Galilee, the lake of Galilee. This shows us that demons do not like to be unclothed or in a disembodied state. They seek bodies to possess so that they can carry out their will in a more tangible and potent way in our material and physical world. Again, the scriptures for demon possession both of man and beast. Matthew 4:24, Matthew 8:16, verses 28 through 34, Mark 5:1 through 20, Luke 8:26 through 40. Again, Matthew 9:32, 33, 12:22, 15, 21 through 28. Luke 4:33 through 35, Acts 8:7 and Acts 16:16. One of the major thrusts of Jesus' ministry while he was on earth was delivering people from demonic possession. It was a very frequent thing in the time of Jesus. And dare I say, demons haven't abated their work of possession. I'm sure there are a number of people today who have been demon-possessed. I have performed several exorcisms on people who are demon-possessed, and I have dealt with people who are demon-possessed who do not want to be delivered from the demons. They were offered deliverance by accepting the gospel. They thought about it, and they said, no, I can't at this time, and they continued to be possessed by demons. In possessing and or oppressing, demons oppress, vex, bind, deceive, and they torment people. Demons torment. We already mentioned that earlier, and I forgot to add to that the scriptures of Revelation 9, 1 through 11, Revelation 16, 13 through 14. Let's talk about, real quickly, can Christians be demon-possessed? Can a Christian be overcome and ruled completely by a demon? No, it's impossible. It is ontologically impossible. Why? Because every born-again Christian is indwelt and possessed by the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. And if a demon were able to successfully dislodge the Holy Spirit from the life of the believer, then the Holy Spirit would not be omnipotent. The demon spirit, rather, would be more powerful and all-powerful if that spirit, that evil spirit, could successfully rout and remove the Holy Spirit from the believer's life. Once the Holy Spirit comes in to you and abides in you, He is there forever, according to the Word of God. So a Christian, for that reason, a Christian cannot truly be demon-possessed. He can be oppressed. Believers are oppressed by demons, but they cannot be possessed. Demons not only seek to torment, they also buffet people. That means to hit, to strike, to punch. And so Paul, I remember, mentions that in 2 Corinthians 12:7. Demons also resist or oppose the plan of God. They resist God's people, whether it be the church or Israel, Zechariah 3:1 through 3. They seek to oppose, stand up against, and act as an adversary against God and His people. Well, time is running out. I guess next time we'll talk about the ultimate doom of demons, their ultimate judgment, which is a gradual and progressive judgment, just as Satan's judgment is gradual and progressive. We'll talk about that next time we are with you. We're also going to examine the primary way demons can oppress and possess people, and that would be through the practices of the occult. We'll define what the occult is and give you the major practices of occult activity whereby people unwittingly, most of the time unwittingly, open themselves up to the control and possession of Satan and his demons. Well, until next time, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.